हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः वी लीव इन द फोर्थ वर्स ओके परिच्छिन्न इवाज्ञानात् इवाज्ञानात् तन्नाशे सति केवलः तन्नाशे सति केवलः स्वयं प्रकाशते ह्यात्मा
स्वयं प्रकाशते ह्यात्मा
मेघापायेंशुमानिव
मेघापायेंशुमानिव
अज्ञानकलुषं जीवम् ज्ञानाभ्यासाद्विनिर्मलम् साद्विनिर्मलम् कृत्वा ज्ञानम् स्वयम् नश्येत् जलम् कतकरेणुवत् संसारस्वप्नतुल्यो हि रागद्वेषादिसङ्कुलः स्वकाले सत्यवद्भाति प्रबोधे सति असद्भवेत् तावत् सत्यम् जगद्भाति शुक्तिकारजतम् यथा यावन्न ज्ञायते ब्रह्म सर्वाधिष्ठानमद्वयम्
सर्वाधिष्ठानमद्वयम्
उपादानेखिलाधारे
उपादानेखिलाधारे
जगन्ति परमेश्वरे
जगन्ति परमेश्वरे
सर्गस्थितिलयान्यान्ति
सर्गस्थितिलयान्यान्ति
बुद्बुदानेव वारिणि
बुद्बुदानेव
सच्चिदानन्द सच्चिदात्मन्यनुस्यूते
सच्चिदात्मन्यनुस्यूते
नित्ये विष्णो
नित्ये विष्णो
प्रकल्पिताः
प्रकल्पिताः
व्यक्तयो
व्यक्तयो
विविधा सर्वा
विविधा सर्वा
हाटके
हाटके
कटकादिवत्
कटकादिवत्
सो ऐ वांट टू से एन इम्पोर्टेंट थिंग विच ऐ शुड हैव टोल्ड यू अर्लियर regarding the something about the fifth verse, then I'll come to the rest of it, because what we have done in the eighth verse and what we had to do in the ninth verse, the same teaching. Okay, the eighth and the ninth verses, Ishvara is the jagat karanam. Bhagavan is the cause of the universe. When you say Bhagavan or Ishvara, you mean say Brahman is the reality, is the cause of the universe. That is presented in where in 8th and 9th. See, self-knowledge takes place. And self-knowledge takes place, how does any knowledge take place? Knowledge of anything, any object, is in the form of a thought, which rises in the mind. And that knowledge which rises in the mind of anything, in Sanskritam, is called vritti jnanam. So knowledge of any object also is what? A thought, is a form of a thought only. This Swamiji always says, there's no dental knowledge, nasal knowledge. There's only knowledge means only in the buddhi, thought only. Oru porulai patri arivu enna vadivil ezhugirathu. Knowledge of anything is a form of a thought. Therefore, knowledge of the self also is in the form of what? A thought only. Self-knowledge or knowledge of an object is in the form of a thought which is called vritti-jnanam. And that self-knowledge which rises in the form of a thought alone will remove the ignorance of the self. A simple language, physics knowledge will remove only physics knowledge, ignorance. Chemistry knowledge will remove chemistry, ignorance. Knowledge of mathematics will remove the ignorance of mathematics. So, self-knowledge will remove only self-knowledge. That's enough. Self-ignorance is the cause of all the wrong perceptions and the problems and sorrow caused by wrong perceptions, wrong erroneous notions also. So self-knowledge rises and removes the self-ignorance. What does the self-knowledge rise for? Why should self-knowledge be there? Self-knowledge is for only for removing the self-ignorance. It rises, it removes the self-ignorance. Then after removing the self-ignorance, what does the self-knowledge do? What happens then afterwards? Does the self-knowledge sit there, occupying your mind all the time? No. Self-knowledge rises. The job of the self-knowledge is to remove the self-ignorance. Then self-knowledge also has to go. It resolves. It will not be there occupying the mind all the time. So when the self-knowledge resolves, again will self-ignorance come? No. Ignorance removed once is removed for good. Self-ignorance removed once is removed for good. The self-knowledge which rises, removes the self-ignorance, does not remain there occupying the mind all the time. But the resolved self-knowledge will come handy whenever it is required. Understand? What does it mean? Like when we were in school, when we enter into the school, first standard, second standard, and numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 10 to count, the numbers are so big numbers. And the teacher has to make us understand the difference between 1 and 2, and 2 and 3, different 1 and 3. And in the kindergarten classes, they'll keep on big stand, and wherein is a, iron rod will be there, and a huge, big, we have beads, colorful wooden beads. And the teacher will push one big yellow bead, 1, and she'll push the next red bead, 2 different colors, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. It's a fact, isn't it? But for the child's mind, very big mathematics. 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. And to learn the multiplication also, isn't it? Or the subtraction, or the division, anything. So big mathematics. And the child learns in kindergarten, so 1 plus 1 is 2. Then later on slowly memorizes the mathematical tables. Then number comes like that. Every time you take your purse, you take the money, okay, and the 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, that fact you understood. Until then there was ignorance of 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. And once that knowledge has taken place, then what happened? So clear that knowledge is, it removed that ignorance for good. There's no ignorance of 1 plus 1 being 2. Then you don't, that knowledge, you don't need to remember all the time 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, 1 plus 1 is equal to 5. The knowledge took place, knowledge happened, knowledge is resolved. Understand? Knowledge took place, it doesn't, that 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, that knowledge is not there sitting in the mind all the time, occupying the mind. It has resolved. Knowledge rises, removes the ignorance and resolves. Similarly, when you in higher classes also, when you learn any other big laws, you know, any formula, etc., when you learn also, all those you understand, and you understand it very clearly, it removes the ignorance, knowledge happens, ignorance is removed, then it resolves. No knowledge of anything. The only job of knowledge is knock off the ignorance, then it will resolve. It doesn't sit here. If the 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, that knowledge is still sitting there occupying your mind, there will not be, for your mind, attention, isn't it, will not be available for focusing on anything else to learn new things. Okay? But that knowledge, okay, I have understood that knowledge has come, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, it removed the ignorance, and it is resolved, it is not sitting in the mind occupying this place. Does it mean it is useless afterwards? Whenever you take your purse in any shop, isn't it, you have to give money, and you know how to count, how to put the money back, how much to give, etc. Okay, your knowledge of addition and subtraction, division, multiplication helps you, comes handy to use that knowledge wherever it is required. Again, the knowledge is there. That is where it comes handy. Then you don't take your money and then don't wonder, oh my God, I don't know how to give, how much to give, what is 5 plus 2. Don't ask again. Why? Knowledge is there. Is it clear? See, knowledge comes handy whenever it is required. That is the assimilated knowledge. Is it clear now? So assimilated knowledge, and knowledge rises, it removes ignorance, it resolves, then it doesn't go, it comes handy whenever it is required. Similarly, self-knowledge also rises, removes the ignorance, self-ignorance, then resolves. It doesn't sit there occupying the mind. That is why the Upanishad, this mantra will give a beautiful example. The Thothangottayinudaiya powder, the powder, dusty, fine dusty powder of the Kathaka nut, which is used to clear the muddy water, to remove the mud from the muddy water and make the water clean, crystal clear water. That powder is put into the muddy water. What does it do? It removes the dusty mud in the water. And the dust also, what now? It settles down. It resolves. So that example is given here. But for that knowledge to take place, which will remove the ignorance and resolve, is it? For that knowledge to take place, one must be given to jnana abhyasaha. Jnana abhyasaha. The word abhyasaha literally means practice. But jnana abhyasaha means what? All that one needs to do for that knowledge to rise. That knowledge rises, once knowledge rises, it removes the ignorance. The very knowledge itself is what? Ascertained, doubt-free, clear, internalized, assimilated, internalized vision, which has brought in or which will bring in the total personality transformation. If that knowledge is called jnanam, jnanavritti, what is that knowledge which removes the ignorance for good? Self-knowledge is not an experience, but how to know there is jnanam, how to know this person is a jnani, you don't need to see whether other person is a jnani. You can never know other person is a jnani or not unless you are a jnani. That is why we should never judge or even if other person is a jnani, it is of no use for you. And with the yourself being a jnani and then to conclude this person is a jnani, seeing the miracles and certain things, okay, whatever you think, we always project. We are already very much inclined for projecting. Anything good or bad, whatever we project and judge about others, that's our own thinking, isn't it? So we don't need to worry about other person's jnani or not. Here about now, my jnanam, even for you to be able to acknowledge the jnani in other person, jnanam in other person, you should have the jnanam, isn't it? As a blind person can never appreciate other person having vision. If you are blind, born blind, how can you appreciate the other person's vision? Other person has the very good vision of the eye. How can you say when you yourself are blind? Similarly, how can you say other person has the knowledge of the self, he is Atmajnani or Brahmajnani, when you are yourself ignorant? Therefore, it is not for judging or testing or talking about praising other person's jnanam. Okay, if other person is a jnani, thanks, well and good, namaskaram. Other person is a jnani, also don't need to worry about it. But your jnanam, what is real jnanam? When the verse says, the self-knowledge rises and it doesn't sit there occupying the mind, it resolves, it removes the ignorance and it by itself resolves like the Kathaka Reno. That knowledge is what? The knowledge which has brought in the total transformation of the personality, wherein you can, without any doubt, you can exclude your vachyartha. You can only take the includes in the lakshyartha. Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the self, am the Atma, the consciousness, existence, Brahman. That jnana, very, not to talk about it, that jnana must be there. Actually, I has many meanings there, isn't it? I also means body. I includes the meaning of the word I am, include what now? Body, mind, senses, pranas, and Atma, the consciousness. And there when you say I itself am Brahman, that jnanam, what now? The clear vision is what? You exclude the other things and take only the consciousness. That is when that you resolve the I in that Atma, then Aham Atma. Is it that jnanam has no doubt. And that jnanam alone will bring in what? The actually internalized vision. assimilated vision, which alone blesses you with the total objectivity, wherein there is a transformation of the personality. There is unaffectedness comes. That is what is real moksha. And that jnanam alone is said to be what now? Kathakare navathu. That is what is moksha. Jnana palayuktam jnanam. That is useless knowledge, isn't it? It must be effective knowledge, no? If there is no, jnanam does not bless you with the fruit, moksha, what jnanam is it? There is no jnanam. For that jnanam to take place, for such jnanam to happen there, what now he says, there is a jnana abhyasa, jnana abhyasat. Jnana abhyasa, he uses the word. So jnana abhyasa is what now? Okay, all those things which involves the, for such knowledge to rise. For knowledge to rise, what are all the aspects involved, you know, to have such knowledge? So jnana abhyasa actually says, first of all, conviction must be there. Conviction. That is why, you know, there may be thousands of people, lakhs of people, millions of people living in this country. Now, how many people come for Shastra Jnana? Not for possibly seriousness, commitment, isn't it? So conviction must be there. So every step there must be conviction. What is the first step, the first conviction? Jnanabhyasa involves. If Jnanabhyasa is possible, see, one can bring in all these five factors in one's life, thereby there can be Jnanabhyasa. I don't want to translate the word into practice or something, okay? The Jnanabhyasa itself, life becomes a Jnanabhyasa, which involves five factors. And for those five factors to be involved and for the life to become jnana abhyasaha, what should be there? First thing, conviction. Yes, ultimate end of human life is mokshaha. I have no doubt. Conviction, firm conviction. That moksha is caused by ignorance alone. Why? Because there is no real bondage is not there. The Shastram says, Aham, I am fullness, I am Brahman. But there seems to be limitation, bondage, parichinnahaiva, isn't it? Because of ignorance. And ignorance can be removed only by its what is opposed to ignorance, the knowledge, not by anything else. Therefore, I know, there's no, I have no. Second conviction is what? It is the knowledge which alone will remove my problems. Because problems are caused by ignorance means, how can anything else will remove the problems caused by ignorance other than knowledge? Understand? The removal of ignorance is the solution. Ignorance is the cause for the problems. Therefore, it is the knowledge. So, second conviction is what? About knowledge being the only means, and the knowledge itself is mokshaha. Knowledge and moksha are identical. That conviction must be there, second conviction. Because if conviction is not there, you will still be emotionally entangled with everything. I had to go for that bhajan, I had to go for this thing, okay? I had to go for this, I had to go for this. Thousand things are there, you can't go. Everywhere. There are 10 temples in London. How many temples can you go? You should go to only one temple. Understand, you can't go everywhere. Run everywhere. 10 temples are there for people living in different places. But for you, you should have the priority, isn't it? You can't run everywhere. So you can't, your mind cannot go, that is good, that is good, that is good. It's all because of what? Lack of these convictions. There's no conviction. I have some faith in it, but I don't have total faith in it. It's a conviction. So this is, jnanam is the, jnanam and moksha are identical, second conviction. Then for that jnanam what now? Shastram is this pramanam. Shastram is the pramanam. I have total faith in the words of the Shastram. If we cannot trust the Shastram, we have no other gati. You know, Guru Rushte, Shive Rushte Guru Strata. When Bhagavan gets angry, punishes you with the all remaining in the form of law and order, punishes you or makes you go through all pains and pressures in your life, then that is anger of expressed by Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan's anger? Bhagavan is not an angry person. Isn't Bhagavan is the form of law and order. So he blesses, punishes you with the pain and blesses you with the pleasure in keeping with your punya papa what you have stolen in your parabdha. Because Bhagavan is the very law and order. Bhagavan cannot help. Like how fire cannot help, you know, when you put your finger in there, but fire will burn your finger. That Bhagavan in the form of law and order cannot help you. That's the very nature of dharma. If you rub the dharma, you will be rubbed by dharma. So pains and pleasures, what one goes through in life, are ordained by law and order, Bhagavan in the form of law and order, dharma. Therefore, what happens? Bhagavan, it is said to be what now? Anger of Bhagavan. Shive Rushte. Then who will help you? Who can protect you from that? Free you from prarabdha. Teaching. So, Guru Strata. Guru is the protector. How? By teaching you the Swarupam, it helps you. But Guru Rushte Kopinatrata. You know, by Guru, he means Shastram only. Shastram, we cannot have faith in Shastram. Nothing in the world can help you because Satyam, this faith, again conviction. We are not forcing anybody. One has to think, who's one's buddhi wants to come here. There is no fanaticism here. Okay, Shastram, it's a conviction, is the pramanam. Because Shastram doesn't contradict your reason. If it anything, Shastram forces you to accept what is not agreeable for reasoning. What contradicts your reasoning is a pain. Isn't it? It doesn't force you to... Shastram doesn't enforce anything on you and makes you feel constrained to force to accept what is not agreeable, what contradicts your reasoning. The word Shastram is the pramanam, the conviction, third step of conviction. Conviction, the third step. And then faith in the words of what the teachers teaches is in keeping with the Shastra. Nothing is from teachers' own stories. There's no emotional blackmailing on it. Teacher can never, a genuine Shastra teacher, one who plays, you know, can never emotionally blackmail you by using all some sweet and nice words on those things. Whatever the teaching is 100% from what the Shastra says. While Sampradaya has unfolded, that faith in the conviction, no? And the fourth stage, fourth thing also. Every step, there's a fourth step, there's a conviction in the fourth step. Thereafter, all these things are there, but still, okay, I don't blame the teacher, I don't blame the Shastram, I don't blame Bhagavan, I don't blame anything. I have conviction, four steps I have conviction means, I have 100% conviction what now? My mind is the jnana patram, isn't it? The instrument of knowledge is the mind. Whatever it is, any knowledge should take place only in the form of a thought, in the mind alone. Therefore, this atma jnanam or brahma jnanam Bhagavat Sakshatkarha also should take place only in the mind, and that mind must be what now? Adequately sharp and adequately what? Balanced and relatively pure and steady. The mind is not adequately pure, adequately steady. Why? Because the mind is what now? Already ajnana kalusham. The mind is already polluted, not really polluted, seemingly polluted. Why? Because having the falsely transferred impurities of the mind, isn't it? Falsely transferred. It's already falsely transferred the impurities of the mind to the Atma. And as the waste what already mind is, mind has all these problems. there will be ignorance being there, sense of inadequacy being there, and the desire being there, needs being there, raga dvesha. Desire, raga dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, they're all in different degrees. Every ajnana mind has at least the slightest degree of these impurities. Okay, all our prayers and all our worships and all our the effort to try to be decent really protects us, really. What an effort to be decent protect us from even expressing our the cruel mind outside. Really protects us. Therefore the malam is called malam. Every man has malam, impurities. And the impurities have to be managed and kept in check. It's called relative purity, antahkarana shuddhihi. Isn't it? Which is called what now? Removal, mala nivrittihi. Is otherwise called antahkarana shuddhihi. Which will happen, so without which jnanam will not take place. And mind is so agitated, so restless, and so distracted, and so scattered. There also what now? The mind must be focused and steady for this, isn't it? For this jnanam to take place. So jnana yogyata patram bhavet, isn't it? Mind should become eligible for that jnanam to rise. For which mind must be what now? Free from unsteadiness, free from also impurities. So there must be removal of malam, it's called mala nivrittihi, has to happen. By what? Antahkarana shuddhihi, by mental purity. And similarly, there will be mental purity if there is mala nivrittihi. And this is also what now? Vikshepa nivrittihi. The vikshepaha means what now? Many thoughts rising, so many thoughts which are raised in the mind, you know, and too much of thinking, we think too much sometimes. Get confused. Too many thoughts, too much of thinking. Every small thing will frighten you and too many thoughts will come. Isn't it? It's all sometimes manayeva, I tell you, amazing. Vikshepa. Vikshepa means too many thoughts being thrown up in your own mind. And therefore, the more the thoughts are, the more unsteady will be your mind, more agitated the mind is. Okay, thought frequency must be what now? The speed of the flow of thoughts, okay, must be maintained by what? Only by reducing the number of thoughts. Have the more and more thoughts arise, and the faster will be in the movement flow of thoughts. The faster is the flow of thoughts, then what happens? Agitation. It is called agitation, isn't it? So that's also unsteady mind, fickle mind, flux. Is it? The mind. So for which? That's called vikshepa. The vikshepa nivrittihi is called what now? Steadying, removal of the unsteadiness, agitations in the mind, which is caused what now? Steadying of the mind, which you can call it integrated mind or steady mind. Therefore, ajna, you have to take place, all nivritti only, removal. Mala nivrittihi should happen, then vikshepa nivrittihi should happen. Both will go means there will be what? Antahkarana shuddhihi and antahkarana naischalyam. In Sanglish we call it mental purity and steadiness. Then only mind is eligible for understanding, grasping, retaining, remembering, or not to be confused. You have to work simultaneously. That what is the only, how to prepare this mind. Therefore, living a life, Shastram prescribes, teaches you, living a life of karma yoga. I am not going to explain here how to live a life of karma yoga. That's not the lesson here. We'll do it later on. But living a life of karma yoga is for mala nivrittihi and being meditative, what now, being worshipful and prayerful is for mala nivrittihi and also what? Vikshepa nivrittihi, which implies being meditative of Ishvara, conscious of Ishvara. Understand? Is what now is also help you what? Mala anivikshepa nivrittihi. For which upasanam is a upasanam. So karma yoga is for mala nivrittihi. Upasanam is for vikshepa nivrittihi. So karma yoga is for antakarna shuddhihi. And upasanam is for antahkarana naischalyam, mental steadiness. This is simultaneous should go with what? One should live a life of karma yoga with what? With commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. What should one do for jnanam, for ajnana nivrittihi? Shravanam, listening to the subject matter of the Shastram is the only way for Shravanam. So what is now Karma Yoga, Upasanam? What is the third factor involved here? Jnana Abhyasana means all the five together. Karma Yoga, Upasanam, now Vedanta Shastra Shravanam. How should one listen to the subject matter of the Shastram? Systematically, regularly, continuously, isn't it? For a length of time, for a given length of time, with the commitment, with the help of the competent teacher, listening to the subject matter of the Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, without raising anything, questioning, just to go and with all submissiveness, one should listen to the Shastra. That's called what now? That only that continuous listening will slowly, slowly, slowly enhance one's clarity and will help one to have what? Jnanam. So, for ajnana nivrittihi, for the removal of ignorance, to have knowledge, Vedanta Shastra Shravanam is the only means. Conviction. Conviction. Oshana acceptance is, I am not ready enough for jnanam. But I am not going to sit and worry, oh, when this is going to happen, it's what difficult to live. Immediately we say, it's very difficult to have a Ishwarpana Buddhi, very difficult to have some Ishwarpana. Samatha buddhihi, very easy to tell others. Immediately we talk back. There's never humility to accept. Let me try this. Let me understand how I can have that samatha buddhihi. We never think that way. How to have samatha buddhihi? Let me, how I can have samatha buddhihi? Why can't we pray for samatha buddhihi? Instead, it's very difficult to have samatha buddhihi. That's why Shastra Shravana means no talking back to Shastram, okay? Just listening. That is why in India, when somebody tells something, they will ask this question, and Ipari Veda Vaka, why you mean to accept without anything playing back? No, in India, when somebody comes and tells, and the other person will not listen, and he'll ask back, oh, is the Veda Vaka? Are you is the Veda for me to accept it without questioning back? Why? Because when Veda says something, we don't question back. That is the conviction. Okay? Then our culture is there. That is why even now today in our expressions we have that. In a peri Vedama, you will ask this. Oh, what you are saying is Veda was for me to accept it. That means what? Somewhere in the culture, it is there in the rules that we should accept anything Veda says. Isn't it? It must have been there once upon a time. that has to come back in our buddhi. Okay, if we don't accept shastram, shastram does not lose anything. We will be the losers. Anyway, so shravanam. But even our shravanam blesses you with the jnanam, which removes the ajnanam. But that knowledge itself is not immediately fruitful. Isn't it? Why? Because our own still, the knowledge is there, but that knowledge is what? Still not assimilated knowledge. And so many other doubts also will be there. So what? By repeated listening, having done to some extent listening, repeated listening, one has to repeat to see, recollect and reflect on what has been heard, understood and retained. And as one reflects upon what has been known and understood, and the doubts also will resolve. Understand? Any amount of doubts you have naturally will resolve. How? Only after you have done shravanam for length of time, you have some understanding and you dwell upon what you have understood repeatedly, then naturally the doubts will resolve. Shastram says it. Only then your understanding is correct. The doubt should resolve. Then there's a conviction in what you have understood. When Shastra Shravanam will bless you with the knowledge, but still knowledge without conviction is there. But Mananam will bless you with same knowledge with the conviction. Same knowledge is now with the conviction. Is it clear? And what is conviction is that? Yes, actually, Vachartha, now from the standpoint of empirical reality, empirically, I am an individual with all limitations, different from the Lord. But absolutely, from the standpoint of Paramarthika Drishtya, the standpoint of absolute reality, there's no doubt I am non-different from Paramatma. Is it? That clear knowledge. Therefore, other than me, the Paramatma, then there is no, it's very difficult for one to understand this, accept this. But it's a fact. To understand this fact, we are studying Shastra. Then this vision should what now? It is not simply to say. So because it's not that difficult, because we are so used all these days worshipping the Lord outside as an object, praying to the Lord outside as an object, and always seeing the attributes, sort of the one with the attributes, praying for so long, suddenly, now, even though you understand very clearly, it doesn't contradict your reasoning when you understand it. Wave and ocean are one. Wave is ocean from the standpoint of the truth, the H2O. Logically, now you understand it. Like similarly, it's also understand here. It's an absolute reality. I am non-different from the, I am the whole. That vision is a fact you understood, but still there's no internalization of that vision. So the assimilated vision, for internalization, you had to constantly, when can you effortlessly, constantly remind you of the fact? If your knowledge is not with the conviction, then how can you constantly remind you of the fact? Isn't it? When I say I see effortlessly the light, when I see every opaque object, similarly, isn't it? Like that, one's own sorupam. For one to have the understanding without any doubt, with the conviction, that conviction must be there. That knowledge with the conviction must be reminded by oneself. All the time one should remind oneself of the fact continuously. Effortlessly also. Doesn't involve any big effort. If the knowledge is without any doubt, then constantly reminding oneself of the fact which one has assimilated is effortless. But still, isn't it? Effortless. But how do you need the mental preparedness is there. And that is called what now? Nididhyasanam. Which alone will result in the transformation of the personality. What now? Unshakable personality. Nothing really will shake you. Because it is natural for us to be shaken by every small thing. I'm not saying being shaken is wrong, but being shaken is weakness. And not being, it's called emotional stability. Mental strength, absolute mental strength. That does not mean you're a stone-hearted person. In fact, the strongest person will be the softest-minded. You know that? Strongest person is the softest and the most compassionate person. This is so true. You know that the more compassion you show to others, with objectivity, without being shaken by things, who can do that? Isn't it? That is called moksha. Nididhyasanam alone will result in that jnanam. But nididhyasanam should be preceded by what now? Which is called contemplation, preceded by mananam. Mananam will not be possible without the shravanam. And the shravanam and mananam will be effective, consequently result in nididhyasanam. If there is what? The mental purity and steadiness also are taken care of simultaneously. Okay? Mental purity and steadiness with the shravanam alone will result in jnanam, conviction, knowledge with the conviction, and what now? Total transformation of the personality through nididhyasanam. Is it clear? Which is moksha. So, karma yoga, upasanam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. All these five aspects together constitute jnana abhyasaha. Do you get it? It's a very important lesson what I'm saying. And here, this jnana abhyasaha should be taken as what now? Life's project. The project itself is very clear. Then you can go, what now, with all conviction, you can do the needful. And then this project can be taken, is what now, one journey. And this project may end in this life, or may end in next life, or may end in many other lives, doesn't matter. With the conviction, with all the convictions in every step, you understand these five factors and you live a life of karma yoga, means proper attitude towards everything in life. It is the attitude, okay, prayerfulness, worshipfulness and proper attitudes. And living a life of karma yoga with the pursuit of knowledge, and then the journey will be comfortable. You will not be worried, bothered about when is the destination going to come. If the journey is very, very unpleasant journey, the question might rise, oh Kadavule, when is it going to end? The journey is a very pleasant journey. You will forget about your destination. Just be in the right track, the right vehicle, and a pleasant journey it will take you to the destination of moksha. Understand? This is the proper this is how understanding this jnana abhyasa and living one's life in keeping with the Vedic injunctions, but living a life of Vedic way of life as sanatanaha dharmaha. We don't need to worry about all the time, it's all my prarabdha, when am I going to end this prarabdha? I have prahanchitam, I have agami, and I have to do this, and when is this going to come, when am I going to attend moksha, when is knowledge going to take place, and I don't know, I can finish Shravanamananam, I don't know how to do this. But conviction is so clear. This itself got now relative freedom. If there is no relative freedom, then there is no way of accomplishing absolute freedom. Understand? And then our Shastra students, people who talk too much, and whenever people are, we are with the people who are of the nature of diverting and taking away to too many other things, very careful, quietly, without finding fault with others, we should move away, because any distraction, understand, especially discussion of politics, discussion of other things, you do the needful when the question of voting comes, be conscious and alert, do your duty, but unnecessary distractions and disturbance, these things, because Vedanta Shastra students, you know, when you see everything and with a different perspective, isn't it? Then you change. It's called jnana abhyasa. Why I'm saying, I'm repeating this today, I didn't explain this jnana abhyasa. I might have explained, I don't know what I read. I didn't put it correct, because at the word abhyasa, I was just thinking, because literally it's a given practice. You have to practice, I don't want to translate the word to jnana abhyasa. Okay, this knowledge which is like the Kathakareno implies what? One being given to the jnana abhyasaha, a living a life committed to the pursuit of knowledge, which involves five factors. So, never ever keep away from the Shastra Shravanam. Shastra Shravanam alone will continuously keep you in Karma Yoga, help you to be meditative of Ishvara, different way how to see Ishvara Bhagavan all the time, at the same time Dharma, and also what? You are with Shastra listening again. Every time you are repeatedly said, like a Kita Bringa Nyaya. Now, there's a big trunk of the tree as a hole, and inside the hole the insect goes and lays its eggs there. Okay, and when the eggs really break and the larva, you know, that the worms come out. The worms come out at the hole, it falls down, then other birds or something else will eat it. But the worms should not come out, it should be there for until it gets the wings. It becomes a full-fledged insect to fly out, to escape. So the mother insect will sit, it lays the eggs, and what it will sit, doesn't want the worms to come out and fall and die in the larva stage. It wants the worms to become full-fledged insects with the wings to protect themselves. So the mother insect sits in the hole, blocking the hole and preventing them from coming outside. But the worms do not, poor worms, like our babies, naughty, they'll come out. Again, crawling, they come out to the hole. And the mother insect will what now? Eat back. Go inside. Go inside. Go inside. Go inside. Go inside. Kita bringa nyaya. Understand? So, Shravanam, be in Shravanam, Shastra Shravanam. That every day the teacher will be teaching what? No new lesson. Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi, Tattvamasi. You God, but now, no, I'm not Brahman. I'm an individual, worried, sad, sapana, lamenting, grieving, individual. Come back to the class, no, Tattvamasi. Isn't it? So, that's the Nyaya. That's what? Jnanabhyasa. Okay. And that, for that knowledge to take place, which is like the Katakarenu, one should be given to the life committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Life committed to the pursuit of knowledge means all these, you should know the five factors, how they all contribute. Okay? This is the lesson. Then, we did other lessons. And we saw the sixth lesson also. Why? Because even though this samsara, this life of transmigration involving always was sukham, dukkham, sukham, dukkham, sukham, dukkham. If only sukham is there, it is what now? Life in swarga. If only dukkham is there, life in lower lokas. If you have both sukham and dukkham, that is bhuloka. Only in a human form, being endowed with the human form and living in this world alone, you can go through both pains and pleasures. No human being will have only pains. No human being will have only pleasures. Proportion may differ from person to person. But nobody wants any amount of proportion. Whatever is the proportion of pain one goes through, nobody likes it. And everybody wants only pleasures. That's the problem, isn't it? That's what is samsara. And this, every time you are born, and this is a completely choiceless birth, choiceless death, choiceless pains and pleasures. Everything is just determined by our own, isn't it? Karma means that samsara continues as long as karma phalam is there, as long as karma is there, as long as kartrutvam is there, as long as bhoktrutvam is there, as long as doership and enjoyership is there, as long as ignorance is there. Isn't it? Therefore, he says, samsaraha, but how? It seems to be very, very real, but this samsara, really speaking, as long as ignorance is there, samsara appears to be real. But in the wake of knowledge, the samsara being mithya, being as good as non-existent, once you can falsify samsara as mithya, as it becomes as good as non-existent, means you will be unaffected by the samsara. But as long as it appears to be real, you are very much tormented by samsara. And this book is here, how the dream appears to be real as long as you are in dream. When you are dreaming, you can never understand dream being mithya. Dream being mithya. But for you to, you have to wake up from sleep for you to know the dream being mithya. Similarly, even the so-called universe, the samsara, which appears to be very much real, also what? Will be like the dream only. You understand the world being mithya only when you wake up from the sleep of ignorance. It's all your ignorance. Also we have seen the sixth verse. Thereafter, we have seen the seventh verse. Again, same thing is repeated. As long as ignorance is there, isn't it? You not only, it means what, when you think this world is real, you are what now? You are overvaluing the universe. When you mistake something which is not real for absolutely real. What, that which is seemingly real is mistaken for absolutely real, means what? Means it is overvalued, isn't it? You overvalue this. It is like overvalued, it's called Shobhanadhyasaha. Shobhanadhyasa means what? Mistaking something, isn't it? For more, giving something more value than what it deserves. It's called Shobhanadhyasa. This whole prapanchaha, including your body maintenance complex, is relatively real. Empirically real. Empirically real means what? It is not non-existent. It is not unreal. We can never say ocean is not there at all. When you see the ocean, can you say ocean is non-existent? It is wrong to say ocean is non-existent. Now, if you say non-existent means ocean is unreal. It is not something non-existent because it is useful for boating, shipping, fishing, for traveling and cruise, for everything. It is very useful ocean, isn't it? Therefore, ocean serves, it is, when you see the utility point of, the sense of utility also, from the standpoint of the utility also, you cannot say ocean is unreal or non-existent. Ocean is very much existent, but how real it is? It is only empirically real, perceptually real, isn't it? It is relatively real, but absolutely it is not real. So that which is absolutely not real, that which is empirically, perceptually real, is called what? Relatively real is called mithya. Why? Because what is absolutely real is the water, the H2O. Without which the ocean, the name and form will resolve, is what? It's called ocean enjoys vyavaharika satta, empirically real. Avyavaharika satyam. Whereas water is, with reference to ocean, water is paramarthikam satyam. Paramarthikam satyam means absolutely real. Vyavaharika satya means empirically real. We do not say unreal. We should not say, that which is empirically, relatively real, has dependent existence. Therefore, it is mithya. And what that which is absolutely real is independent existence. Therefore, it is satyam. Water is not dependent on the name and form ocean for its existence. Whereas name and form ocean being dependent on water is what now? That which is empirically real, vyavaharikataya satyam, is what is mithya, dependent existence. And paramarthika satyam is that which has independent existence and absolute reality. Ocean is empirical reality, isn't it? So here, but what do we do? Similarly, Brahma Chaitanyam, the Atma, the actual substance which is available for recognition as a substance or substantive I, that consciousness is the only absolute reality which is implied by the terms Atma and Brahman. And otherwise, the whole prapancha, including one's mind, including the no-I sense, the mind, senses, prana, physical body, and the entire whole prapancha is what? Material product. There is no independent existence, which cannot be said to be absolutely non-real or non-existent. The world is neither unreal nor real. Is what now? It is mithya. Which is our world is what? Universe is empirically real. Our birth, in the sense of the birth, death, and all the changes and pains, experiences are all not hunger, thirst, etc. are not non-existent, not unreal. Swamiji always says when we read, the world is unreal. People literally translate. And Swamiji says, whoever says world is unreal, put him to starvation for a few days. That means what? You can never say world is unreal. Because it's not a non-existent thing. But is world absolutely real then? No. But what is it then? It is empirically real, relatively real. The world, universe, prapanchaha has vyavaharika satta, satyam. Whereas consciousness alone, what only reality is, absolutely real. Therefore here we say the matter and the material universe. It's a matter and the, I don't need to say matter and the material universe, okay? I'm just saying for the sake of your understanding. The material universe is, enjoys vyavaharika satyam, and the consciousness alone is absolute reality, paramarthika satyam. But what do we do here? We do not know what paramarthika satyam is. Therefore, we mistake the vyavaharika satyam jagat, we mistake the empirically real universe for absolutely real. This mistake, we give what now? More value to the universe than what it deserves. It's called Shobhanadhyasa. That is why Shuktika Rajatam is what now? That is why Shankaracharya gives the example as what now? When you see the ordinary shell and the seashore, and then it shines like silver, you mistake it for silver. Silver means more valuable metal. And Shuktika means what? Ordinary shell. As if it doesn't have any value. But you value it. Similarly, you mistake the empirically real universe for absolute reality. Therefore, what? That is why all our pains, our pain is not unreal. Our pleasure is not unreal. Our hunger and thirst are not unreal. Our jealousy, hate are not unreal. Everything is, nothing is unreal, but nothing is absolutely real also. If we can take it as relatively real, empirically real, we will not be affected by what is empirically real. You should know absolute, I the Atma, am what now? Absolutely real vastu. Whereas the whole prapancha and all the suffering, samsara is what? Empirically real. If you know, which is dependent on, isn't it? The Atma, what's existence. If you can, me, the Atma, if you know, then you will not be affected by that. But now, you are getting affected by that, afflicted by that. Why? Because you mistake the empirical reality for absolute reality. Understand? It's called Shobhanadhyasa. And here, what he says here, really speaking, therefore, as long as you remain ignorant of Brahman, as long as you do not know the cause of the prapancha, like as long as you do not know the truth, the existence, the reality of the ocean being water, you will mistake the ocean for absolute reality. Once you know the truth of the ocean being water, the existence of the water, the cause of the ocean being the water, then only you will understand ocean being only empirically real. Similarly here also, yavat brahmana jnayate, as long as you do not know what Brahman is, you can't help what now? Mistaking the empirically real universe for the absolutely real universe, real thing. And as long as you mistake this for the absolutely real, absolute reality, you can't help being afflicted by this samsara. Yavat. So as long as you, the Brahman is, you are ignorant of Brahman, so long will there be what now? Adhyasa. As long as the adhyasa is there, you become a victim of the so-called world, affected by situations. Therefore, And what is that Brahman? Sarva Adhishtanam Advayam. The Brahman is the substratum, the very existence, support of the entire universe. That's why in the 8th verse we saw, this Brahman, just as water is the upadanam. Upadanam means what? That by which something, that which is taken for making something, is called upadanam. That which is taken for making something, creating something, producing something, is called upadanam. That means what? Like, clay is the upadanam with reference to clay pot. What is that which is taken for producing the pot, for production of the pot, for the creation of the pot? What is taken? Clay. So clay is upadanam with reference to the pot. So here, with reference to the whole, that means what? The pot does not have existence outside of the clay. Is it? In fact, clay alone exists in the form of a pot. Existence of the pot is clay. Similarly here also, for the whole prapancha, what is the upadanam? Pot exists in the clay. Ocean exists in the water. Ornament exists in the gold. Furniture exists in the wood. Any dress exists in the fabric. Similarly, the whole prapancha exists in its upadanam. And what is upadanam? Akhila adharam. It is the support of the entire universe and of various, just as water is the adhishtanam, upadanam, adharam for varieties of innumerably countless ways, for all the innumerably countless names and forms, there is one adhara, one adhishtanam, that is what now, upadanam, which is Brahman. Okay, and therefore, in that Brahman, you can say there's no Lord other than Brahman. Therefore, we say what now? Brahman is not the Lord, but there's no Lord other than Brahman. Therefore, in that Lord Parameshwara, in that Bhagavan Parameshwara alone, in that Brahman the Lord alone, which is the upadanam and which is the or adhishtanam, akhila adharam, in that Brahman alone, all the worlds exist. Jaganti means all the worlds exist. Exist means what? They come into existence also from that Brahman. They remain existent in Brahman. They resolve also in Brahman. Like what? Like Budbudani eva. Budbuddha. Budbuddham means water bubble. Water bubbles, what do? The water bubble is what? Name of a given form added to water is water bubble. Water, the reality, plus addition of name and form bubble is equal to water bubble, isn't it? The name and form, if you remove, water the satyam. Name and form is what? Mithya. Similarly, all the varieties of beings here, living beings, non-living things, mobile beings, immobile beings, isn't it? So, inert, conscious beings. All of them, chetana, achetana, chara, achara, samagram jagat, all the worlds also, what now? They all come into existence. They remain existent, they remain sustained and remain ordered, supported, and they also resolve in that Brahman alone. Understand? Jaganti Parameshwari, Akhila Adhare, beautiful verses, Shankara's verses, Akhila Adhare, Adhishtane, Parameshwari, Jaganti, all the worlds come into existence, remain existent, remain sustained, and then resolve in that Parameshwara only. Is it? And what is that? Like what? Like the Budbudhani Varini Iva. Like the water bubbles come into existence, remain existent and resolve in the water. Similarly, the Namarupa added to water remain for some time. The Namarupa resolve in water. That resolution of the Namarupa in the water does not mean what now? Non-existence of the water. Coming into existence, what comes into existence is not the water, only the Namarupa. What remains sustained also is what? Only the water bubbles, not the water. Okay? And what resolves also is the what? Not the Namarupa, not the water. Water does not come into existence, then remain existent, and then resolve, does not resolve also. What comes into existence, remain existent and resolve, is only the Namarupa, name and form, not the water. Water is beginningless, endless, changeless, independent, only reality for the water bubbles. Similarly, in the all the 14 worlds which we do not know, okay, all of them also, what now, come into existence, they are as good as the name and form added to water. Understand? Bubbles, as well as the water bubbles only. All the worlds come into existence, remain existent, and they resolve in that Brahman. Whereas Brahman the Chaitanyam does not come into existence because it is the beginningless existence, beginningless consciousness. It does not remain existent because it is the very existence which lends existence to the existent Namarupam. And it doesn't resolve also because it is the very source where the Namarupas resolve. Understand? So what? That Brahman is you. You are that Brahman. You being that Brahman, you mistake the what now? The body, mind, sense complex, which is part of the jagat, which is as good as the water bubble. Understand? For you, therefore what? There is samsara. Budbudhani iva varini. I got it? Okay. So, therefore what is meant now? Therefore, Atmadi Brahman is the upadanam, upadana karanam of the whole prapanchaha. So, always karanasya nashaha nasti. Karisya nashaha, karanasya nashaha kadapi na bhavati. There is no nasha. Okay? The dissolution of the name and form, the effect, does not mean what now? Destruction of the cause, the very existence. And we are going to see again same verse, same meaning. We are going to see different examples here. And every verse gives you one example. Every verse has one example. Buddhudhani eva. This is the beauty of Atmabodha. Every verse, have you seen one verse where example is not given? Isn't it? Some example is given. He's going to give next example, Hatake Katakadivat. Hatakam means gold. So many names are there, okay? Swarna, etc. Because Shankaracharya is very, language is very big, no? Katakam means bangle, bracelet like. Anything we put here is called Katakam. So Hatakam and Katakam, he want to give rhyming words. So Swarne Abhanavat, he could have said. But he because of his knowledge. Hatake Katakadivat. Just as the ornaments are in gold. So, what now? We are going to see. Anusyutam. That Brahman, the Atma, your real nature, is very much, what now? Very much existent, as the very existence in every object in and through. There's which part of the bangle the gold is not? Which part of the table the wood is not? In and through the effect the cause is inherent. Similarly, in and through everything in this universe, Brahman the Karanam is. In fact, everything is in Brahman.